The scripture reading today comes out of Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 12. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples sent to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came to the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
of Lent, we're beginning a new sermon series called 24 Hours That Changed the World. These 24 hours begin with the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we're actually fast-forwarding in some ways and slowing down in other ways because we're beginning on Maundy Thursday. Sometimes I think in the holy season of Lent, we try to squish so much information and so much history and so much scripture and ritual and tradition into just one week, Holy Week, that we lose sight of the story, of the passion, of the mystery and the power and the transformation that Christ offers us. So this year, during the season of Lent, we're going to stretch those 24 hours out for 6 weeks. Today, we're starting with Maundy Thursday. Next week, we'll go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then we'll go to the Hill of Calvary and the betrayal of Jesus, and on and on and on until we get to Resurrection Sunday on Easter. So when we celebrate the Last Supper, we remember the story of our faith. I was once teaching a confirmation class in the city of Nashville to some 5th and 6th graders, and we began with a retreat for confirmation. That's another thing where we try to squish a lot of information and scripture and tradition and ritual into a short amount of time. And so for these confirmands, we started with a retreat, and this retreat was focused on the sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. I got to teach the part about Holy Communion, and so I began to teach these 5th and 6th graders about their history, about our lineage, the Jewish faith, and where we get Holy Communion, and where it comes from the Passover Seder. We went over the details from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, which talk about how the Passover Seder is a meal that commemorates God's central saving act towards the nation of Israel. This central saving act, this event, takes up 11 chapters in the book of Exodus, and it's so important. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for more than 400 years when God called Moses to deliver them. Moses demanded that Pharaoh release his people. Remember? Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, let my people go. But that Egyptian monarch refused. The government would not let it happen. So God brought a series of plagues upon the Egyptians, and Pharaoh was unrelenting. Finally, God said to Moses that he would perform one last terrible deed in the land, that Pharaoh would have to let the people go if God threatened this. God would strike down the firstborn in every household and in every flock of sheep throughout the land of Egypt. And it was on that night that the Israelites were to sacrifice a lamb to God. They were to mark their doors with the lamb's blood. And as the angel of death was to pass through the land, it would pass over the homes that were marked by the blood of the lamb, thus sparing the firstborn child in that home. The lamb was to be cooked and eaten, giving the Israelites one final meal, one last supper in Egypt before they were to be delivered. The middle schoolers love this part of the narrative. There's climax, and there's resolution, and there's an angel of death, and there's blood and guts and glory. But when we got to the part about how death did indeed visit the land in the middle of the night, from the humblest dwelling place to Pharaoh's palace, and they saw that Egypt was awash and in the midst of devastation, they realized that Pharaoh finally relented. He ordered the Israelites to leave Egypt, and they prepared to leave so quickly that there was no time to leaven their bread dough and allow it to rise. As a result, the bread they took with them was unleavened. It's what we call matzah today. The Israelites' escape set in motion this epic journey through the wilderness, a 40-year trek that would transform the Israelites into a nation and lead them into the promised land. From that day forward, the Israelites annually celebrated the Passover that had accompanied their escape from Egypt. The meal would forever be known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We talked about this story, this magnificent history, in the confirmation class, and then we baked bread together. I taught the kids how to knead the dough and how to watch it rise, how to bake it, how to let it rest when it came out of the oven. And then at the conclusion of the retreat, we celebrated Holy Communion together. We talked about how Jesus, as a Jew, participated in the Passover Seder with his disciples, how they symbolically would have eaten the lamb and dipped their bread into the cup and drank the wine that was their custom. We talked about how when Jesus rose and he gave that toast and he spoke to his disciples and friends saying, "This is my body, this is my blood. As often as you eat of this, remember me." Jesus transformed the Passover Seder and instead gave people the Eucharist, Holy Communion. This story is important for us to rehearse as well. We rehearse it once a month when we celebrate Holy Communion, and we remember together the passion, the events, the history, the story of Jesus. We need to remember and give thanks each and every time because we are broken. When we come to the table, we humble ourselves before God, knowing that God is great and we are not. We are like Judas. We are that bad friend, the misfit, the ragamuffin sinner who comes to this table imperfect and in need of grace. But just like Judas, when we get to this place and this time in our worship service, God greets us here. God calls us and claims us as his own and says, "Beloved, you are mine. I love you and I forgive you." We come forward, each one of us, one at a time, but we also come as a community of faith, as the people of God who know that we don't have it all together, we don't have it all figured out, and the weight of our burdens is too heavy to bear on our own. So we bear it together as the body of Christ, united by his love. When we come to the table, we remember that we are forgiven. The grace of God in Jesus Christ exists for us and is perhaps most accessible at this table. We as United Methodists believe in an open table. We believe that everyone is able to take Holy Communion because it is God's gift to give and our gift to share. We do not get to judge who is worthy and who is not. We are simply called to open ourselves up to the mystery and receive the miraculous gift of salvation that God offers us each and every time in the bread and the cup. When we come to the table, then, forgiveness is as common as the elements of bread and juice. It's as near as the person who is sitting on our left or our right. We know we don't deserve it, and we'll never fully comprehend how it works. We only need to take and eat. A couple of years ago, I was counseling a camp at Lake Louise, which is up north in Boyne Falls, way in the boonies. And at this camp, we have a tradition of celebrating Holy Communion on the final evening. And it's a very emotional night. It's filled with joy and a little bit of sadness as well, because these kids who have been together all week have been transformed by the love of God, and sometimes they don't want to go home. Lake Louise has a particular place in our hearts and a little bit of magic in it as well. And on this night, as we were getting ready to serve Holy Communion, I'm sitting in the congregation with the kids, and the pastor, my husband, who was serving the elements, gets up and does the whole bit, the whole great Thanksgiving, the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, just like we do. And then he says the part about how we don't have to have it all figured out, and everyone is welcome to come and partake of the gifts. And there's two boys in the congregation in front of me who are sitting on the floor, crisscross applesauce, and they're not church kids. They're not kids who grew up going to Sunday school and youth group and vacation Bible school. They're kids who come from rough homes. They've not had a great life thus far. They're 15 and 16, and the way they get by is going to school every day and then rushing off to their jobs and working in the afternoons and evenings, going home exhausted but cooking supper for their siblings, and then collapsing in bed like most of us do. And these two boys are sitting in the congregation, and they're talking amongst one another quietly, and I can hear their conversation. Should we take it? Should we go up? I've never had communion before, have you? And they're going back and forth, and you can see the struggle and the turmoil. You can see God working in their hearts in this moment. And one of them says to the other, I think I'm going to go. I don't fully understand. I don't really get it. But I think Jesus wants me to go. So when it's their turn, they do rise. They get up. They go up to the counselors who are serving communion at the altar table. And they take communion. And then they quietly go back to their seats. And they start praying. And I go up as one of the counselors. And I wink to another one, which is a universal signal for get over here now. And we quietly pray with these boys who may have just experienced a conversion by taking part in the sacrament of Holy Communion for the first time. We pray with them and we talk about the grace and the love and the mercy of God that exists for them. How no matter what they've done or where they come from or where they're going in their life, that love will always be constant and steady and unchanging. How even though they're going to go home and make mistakes and probably sin again and struggle in their relationships, that they can come back to this place and find that same love and that same grace and that same mercy time and time again. We tried to put into words the sentiment that each one of you and I experience when we come to the table of the Lord. And at the end of the prayer, we said amen, and these boys who are in tears and these counselors who are even more in tears and a hot mess, we say thank you to one another, and we go on with our evening. It reminds me that though we are broken, though we are forgiven, we also come to the table thankful, with full hearts. We remember when we come to this place that there is more grace in God than sin in us, and that no matter who you are or where you come from, no matter what baggage you're carrying or what you've done wrong in your life, God loves you, God saves you, and God wants to be in relationship with you. What more can we say than thanks be to God after we receive that gift with open hands and dip the bread into the cup? What more can we do than spend our lives in service, building the kingdom of God and sharing his love with others? This is the charge that we are left with after we rise and stand and turn from this place and go back out into the world. We remember we are broken. We remember we are forgiven. And we remember to be thankful on this Holy Communion Sunday. Thanks be to God. Amen.